Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Am I wrong for thinking out the box from where I stay? Am I wrong for saying that I choose another way?
What's going on, everybody? Sean Wally alongside Sean Boyd for On the Double here with the Double S Express, show 78. And Sean, it is a big one.
Yes, it is, Sean Wally. And of course, this is the time of the year that we start to make the transition into the holiday season, the season for giving, the season for all things grandeur. And of course, our first guest, man, I can't wait. Great Pacific Northwest native and a former Seattle Seahawk, of course, Marcus Trufant will be on with us, man, and it should be an exciting show.
Big show tonight. As you said, Marcus Trufant will be joining us momentarily. And then from Las Vegas, Nevada, a guy that has Pacific Northwest roots, Chet Buchanan, host of The Morning Zoo on KLUC in Las Vegas. And then to top it off, we have three guests tonight. Another former NFL player who's been on the Double before. That is Nick Ferguson at 7:30.
Man, I'm looking forward to having Chet Buchanan on. I remember him back in the day up in the Pacific Northwest as Chet the Jet Buchanan on 93.3 KUBE for all of you up there in Seattle. And so it should be fun having him on as well. Of course, Nick Ferguson, never a dull moment. Of course, we will be talking about his team, the Denver Broncos, going up against the Oakland Raiders this past weekend. So it should be a great, great show, Sean Wally.
Absolutely. You know, that's what we try and do here is bring big time guests every week. Normally times two, but tonight it is times three, and not one, but two former NFL players.
Yeah. So, I mean, before we have Marcus on the show, I mean, of course, there were a couple of games that we will talk about over the past weekend. Of course, with Northern California ties, we can the Oakland Raiders taking on the Denver Broncos. And, man, it was an ugly, ugly game that actually started out as a good contest, believe it or not. The Raiders jumped out 10-6, and it looked like it was going to be one of those days to where the Raiders would get off the schneid. But then, as we all know it, it happened. Peyton Manning happened. 5 touchdowns in the game. I mean, he really got things rolling, and the onslaught began. Raiders get downed at the O.co, 41-17.
Well, Sean, you were there working for CBS Sports as usual at O.co. And tell us the feeling. Tell us the vibe. I mean, the place was packed, sold out. And in the beginning, the Raiders gave their fans, the Raider Nation, some hope.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope. You saw the Raiders come down on the and you know, put a couple of drives together. And, you know, one of the things that we weren't used to, you know, anybody in the NFL is seeing Peyton Manning actually stopped. The last time we saw that, of course, was from your beloved Seahawks the year prior. Actually, I take that back, the week before to where the San Diego Chargers, but the New England Patriots took care of business to beat the Denver Broncos. And it looked like the Raiders were going to get things started. The feel in the parking lot was great. There was a strong atmosphere. And of course, you know, getting a chance to talk with some of the fans, and you know, it seemed like that day was ripe for the picking for the Denver Broncos. And, you know, things started out fine. And then the next thing you know, the Oakland Raiders started doing what Coach Tony Sparano calls, you know, Oakland beating Oakland by making some mistakes. And Derek Carr, for the first time this season, actually looked like a bona fide rookie. And so that was really scary to see as the second half, you know, as the second half started. And the second half unfolded that he looked more and more like somebody who was a little inexperienced and a little over his head.
So where do you think Raider Nation sits? You had a couple weeks ago, the Raiders played a tough contest and they were close but couldn't pull it out. Then they went to, you know, played Arizona, and that didn't exactly go well at all. Came up here in Seattle to the Pacific Northwest, CenturyLink Field last week, played decent, came down to one score in the final period, an onside kick that the Seahawks recovered to seal the win. And now, of course, the Raiders playing Denver, one of the better teams in the league, and seems like you said previously, Sean, one step forward, two steps back. It seems like they're retreating yet again.
Yeah, so I'll give you a scenario. And so after the first four games of the season, what would be harder for a team? And I really want you to think about this, Sean Wally, because, you know, I thought about it a little bit and I thought, man, you know, either way, it could be tough on a team. But what would be tougher? Being a defending Super Bowl champion and defending that honor, because everybody's going to come up against you and give you their best week in and week out? Or actually being a team that after the first 4 weeks, knowing that they're not a very good team, getting a team's best because they know that they don't want to get beat by the worst team in the NFL. So which would be tougher to prepare as a team, the Super Bowl champion or the quote-unquote worst team in the NFL?
Well, let's not ask me. Let's take that to an expert in football and go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number one tonight, Marcus Trufant. Marcus, thanks so much for your time tonight.
No problem. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Hey, Marcus, thanks for being on the show, and you came into a heated question. I don't know if you were listening just a minute ago, but one of the things that we're talking about is – you know, the Seattle Seahawks being the defending Super Bowl champions and everybody and them having a target on their back week in and week out. But after the first 4 weeks of the season, what would be tougher for a team, a team such as the Seahawks, to actually prepare week in and week out for the opposing team's best? Or would it be the worst team in the NFL preparing week in and week out to not lose to, you know, the opposing team coming in? So basically the opposing team says that they do not want to lose to, you know, a team that's winless.
That's a pretty good question. Very good question. I would definitely think it would be worse to be that team that hasn't won a game, to be that losing team. It's pressure all the way around. There's jobs on the line, everything. It's just a lot of negative going around. So you got so much pressure on you to win. And I say, if you're the Super Bowl champ and you've won all these games, of course you're going to get everybody's best shot, you're going to get everybody's A game, but you're still the defending Super Bowl champs. So you can always hang your hat on that. But if you haven't won any games and you're just stressed out, it's tough, man. It could be a very long season.
And of course, Marcus, you haven't had a chance to taste any of that, you know, that type of a play as far as having a winless or being a part of a winless team. You've been a part of some very good traditional teams. I couldn't imagine, you know, being the Oakland Raiders right now at 0-9 and trying to find a way to get that first win. And it just I don't see where it's going to come anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. As the Raiders, you just got to sit back and grind, man. You just got to hope that at some point it turns over. Of course, on any NFL team, I would say there is no players that are sorry. If you make it to the NFL, but you've made it to the NFL for a reason. I think it comes down to executing, doing things right, not getting a bunch of penalties, not getting a whole bunch of crazy stuff going on. You just got to do things right. And you hope it turns over.
Yeah, well, man, let's shift gears a little bit. I don't want to talk about that depressing news. There are some things that you are doing. And, of course, this Thursday you have a huge gala going on in the Tri-Cities at the track in West Pasco, and that is called Dinner with Friends. So give our listeners what that's all about and what that entails.
Dinner with Friends is all about it's all about the Boys and Girls Club, man. I grew up in the Boys and Girls Club over here on the west side in Tacoma, Washington. That's where I got my first start in football. I went there after school. I spent a bunch of time there. So that's really what I'm going to be talking about, man. I'll be speaking to the people of the Boys and Girls Club, just kind of giving my experience, man, and just having a good time. And that's what it's all about, man. It's all about building up the Boys and Girls Club and hosting them. Ultimately, it's for the youth, man, and that's what I'm about, and that's what the Boys and Girls Club is about.
Now, Marcus, how did the Boys and Girls Club benefit you when you were younger, and what can they offer kids today?
Absolutely. The Boys and Girls Club, they offered me a bunch. It's about, I think it's about giving kids an outlet, giving kids a place to go, giving kids a safe, positive place to go. And that's what I did, man. And I turned all my aggression, all that built up stuff you have as a kid, and I turned it into sports, and it was right there at the Boys and Girls Club. So I think that's good, man. They got all types of programs, man. They got homework programs, they got all types of technology and stuff, they got all types of computers. So it's an all around great deal. It's a lot of people there to help. A lot of people there to help these young kids. I just think it's all around good luck, man.
Now, Marcus, you were the oldest of three great athletic brothers in the Trufant family, and you ended up going to Washington State University after high school at Wilson, the Rams in Tacoma. What was it like to you to make that transition and go to Pullman, a small college town?
I always tell people that Pullman were some of the greatest 4 years of my life, man. I had a great time over at Washington State. And of course, I met a lot of great people. I still talk to a lot of the guys that I played with throughout those 4 years out there in Pullman. But, of course, it was a transition, man. You go from high school, and you're pretty much under mom and dad's wing every day. And then you go all the way over to Pullman, a long five-hour trip away from Tacoma. But it came down to the time management. High school to college, I say, is all about your time management. If you're free, if you don't have to go to class, if you don't want to, in certain situations, but you got to make sure that you get a good grade on that test. So all that is a transition, and it's stuff that young guys and gals have to get used to. But I would take it back to Pullman, man. I had a great time, and I'm glad I made the decision to go over to the right school.
Marcus Trufant joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express, and you mentioning Pullman, and that's a great place for, especially for individuals growing up in the city, in you being in Tacoma, going over to Eastern Washington, being in a secluded area and concentrating on your studies, but actually getting a chance to find out who you are as a person. I mean, I'm sure that was kind of the sentiment when you made the decision to go there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all about family. And, of course, when I went over there on my recruiting trip, I just really felt the family atmosphere, the family element. You know, from Coach Price at the time, he was the head coach. And, you know, it was really just that feel, man. He came over to my house over in Tacoma. And then when we got over to Washington State, he'd have steak dinners. He'd have all types of stuff. So it was just a great feeling, man. And I just think that transition, I really grew up as a man, you know, coming from being underneath mom and dad's wing, and then you got your own apartment, you're in the dorms, you have to do all kind of stuff on your own, man. So I think over there in Pullman, man, I really grew, and I just really cherish the experience.
Now, Marcus, kind of walk us through the process, if you will, of course, making that transition from high school to college. And then, of course, being the oldest and you having your brother Isaiah and then your youngest brother Desmond all playing in the NFL and having a chance to excel. How come all three of you didn't go to Washington State? There's one at Eastern Washington and then one at the University of Washington. Was that something that was planned for, you know, just to be your own individualistic person?
I think it kind of played out that way, but honestly, I think it all came down to chance. Me, personally, I wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school. You know, the Pac-10 at the time, that was the only Pac-10 offer I had coming out of high school, so I was like, hey, it's Washington State, and man, it's Pac-10 football. All right, you can sign me up. I'm ready to go. And, you know, my brothers, pretty much Isaiah, he was in the same situation. He wasn't offered by a bunch of schools, but he got to go to Eastern Washington. And then you got Dez, I always say, he's the spoiled one out the group. He had all these colleges looking after him, so he was able to choose, and he was able to do his thing. So he wanted to make his own mark. So, you know, you know, I saw me and Isaiah, we did our thing over on the east side. Dez, he figured he'd stay on the west side and go to the U. So I think it worked out all for us, man, and it's good for us to touch each school, each kind of make our own mark. And overall, I mean, I think it worked out for us. And I always tell people, I'm kind of like the crash test dummy. I'm first to do everything, man, and that's how it's been always since I was a little boy.
Well, definitely leading by example.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Now, Marcus, just 1 week ago, you had your 10th annual Marcus Trufant Bowling and Billiard Classic for the Trufant Family Foundation. You can find information at marcustrufant.org. Talk to us about how that went for your 10th year.
Yes, the Trufant Family Foundation Bowling Classic. It was a great event, man. A number of current Seahawks, they came out, they signed autographs, they hung out with the fans. It was just a great event. Of course, I had my dad. He's a singer. He loves the microphone. He loves the crowd. So he had the little band. They did their thing. And it was just all-around great event, man. I had a great turnout, and it was great. And, of course, all the proceeds go back to the Trufant Family Foundation. I have a bunch of programs. I have a scholarship program. I work with diabetes programs out here, and I work with Boys and Girls Clubs. I work with Salvation Army. So I try to do a little bit of everything, man. So all these events that I do all raise money. It goes right back into the community.
Now, Marcus, on Thursday, you will be out here in the Tri-Cities at Dinner with Friends. And you being out here has helped raise $85,000 for the Boys and Girls Club of Benton and Franklin Counties, and it's just a great thing you're doing. You're going to be the keynote speaker, 6 p.m. at the track in Pasco. What do you hope to be able to tell the business leaders and also the youth of the Tri-Cities?
I just want to let them know, pretty much just about my Boys and Girls Club experience, man. It's a great thing. I'm glad they're raising a lot of money. I'm glad it's a lot of buzz. I'm glad there's a lot of people involved, man, because it's a good thing. So I'm just here just to kind of spread the message and just let them know, hey, you know, the Boys and Girls Club is great. And everybody jump on board. And if you're not on board, it's still time.
And, of course, Marcus, it is an awesome thing that you're doing, you know, especially for the kids in the community, the Boys and Girls Club. You know, there are a lot of athletes that step up and understand the foundation that they come from. And so I think it is. It's an awesome thing what you're doing for the community.
I really appreciate that, man. And it's been going like that. I started my foundation the second year. I was a pro, man. And, of course, with me getting drafted to the home team, man, I just always wanted to give back, man. I wanted to be able to touch the youth. I wanted to be able to help people. So it's been a good ride, man, and I hope it keeps going.
Well, most definitely. And, of course, you have your hand in a lot of things. You are a person that definitely keeps the pulse going in the community. You have a radio show. Of course, Cairo Radio's Dory Monson show. You have the Barber Shop. Kind of tell us a little bit about the Barber Shop.
The Barber Shop Radio on 710 ESPN Seattle is one of those things, man. We set it up. Terry Holloman, and I played with his brother, Torrey Holloman at Washington State, and then the third guy is a guy by the name of Galen Scott, and we're business partners in the True Experience. I guess that's another conversation, but yeah, man, we set it up. It's called the Barbershop. The premise is set up that you come into a barbershop and you have all these conversations. It's sports, it's current events, you're talking about relationships, so that's what we do on the show.
Well, man, you know, I've spent a lot of time at the barbershops in Tacoma, and every time you go in, you come out with some new type of knowledge. So, yeah, you're right. There's some great conversations, some cool things, some cool stuff to talk about. But, yeah, your show, it's very similar to that because you guys are just talking about, you know, various things, in the sports world and, you know, for lack of a, or actually in everything in general.
Yeah, man, the show, it could get a little crazy. It could get a little crazy, and that's what we like, man. It's a lot of fun, and we get a lot of the guys to come on and do interviews, man. You know, I still got a lot of ties with the guys in the locker room. You know, we had Marshawn on. He doesn't do interviews with anybody, But he said he'd come to the barbershop. So, you know, and you know, it's pretty cool, actually. Me, I'm kind of chill. I'm kind of reserved. I don't like to, don't really like to be on Front Street like that. But the barbershop is bringing it out of me, and it's been fun, man. It's been a whole lot of fun.
Well, Marcus, thank you so much for your time tonight. We look forward to seeing you here in Pasco on Thursday for Dinner with Friends, and visit MarcusTrufant.org for everything the Trufant Foundation has to offer. Marcus, appreciate your time tonight.
Thanks for being on, Marcus.
Thanks, fellas. I appreciate it.
There goes former Seahawk great cornerback Marcus Trufant doing good things in the community, Sean.
Yeah, man, it's always good to have somebody from the 253 representing, and of course, Marcus and the Trufant family doing some awesome things. And of course, you know, didn't get a chance to talk, you know, more about the Boys and Girls Club and how, on the influence that it's had on him. But, you know, I know that, you know, watching Marcus grow up, he did some awesome things. And, you know, Wilson High School was definitely beneficial to having the Trufant boys coming through.
Well, we have no time to rest, no break here on The Double. Let's go right back out to the HolySmokeNuts.com phone lines and welcome in Chet Buchanan from Las Vegas, host of Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo on KLUC 98.5 in Vegas. Chet, what's going on?
Boys, how are you? Everything all right?
Man, great to have you on the show, Chet. And you're a busy person, man. I got to, you know, getting a chance to hear your show, you know, on TuneIn Radio, because I'm in Sacramento, California. But man, you know, growing up in Washington State and getting a chance to listen to you on 93.3, Cube 93, that is, you know, those were some fun times back in the day.
Do you know how long ago that was?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, you know, I'm not going to tell.
No, I mean, and can I tell you that, I mean, that's really, it's really, really kind. I mean, anytime that anybody even gives two rips about what you've done is a really cool thing, and I appreciate that. And let me tell you something else about the Trufants, too. You were talking to Marcus, and I didn't realize I probably could have just jumped right in. Isaiah played here in Las Vegas in the ill-fated United Football League, but that's the Trufant family was here for every single home game. They traveled to Las Vegas, and then when the Las Vegas Locos won the championship, I was their public address announcer out of Sam Boyd Stadium. So we had this big championship party, and everybody got rings and all that kind of stuff. I don't know where the money came from for them to do that, but I'm not even going to ask that question. But the Trufant family was here in force, and I just thought that was so amazing. And then they were so happy to see another Seattle guy, and it was just a real testament to what great character people the Trufants are. You know, I mean, everybody knows about Marcus and what Marcus has done, but all the way down the line to Isaiah, who got his shot in the NFL as well with the Jets and others, and just that family is just tremendous. So it's an honor to be on the same program that Marcus was on.
Yeah, you know, and of course Marcus is very humbled. Yeah, and as you're saying, family travels well. You know, at the Seahawks games, that, you know, the Trufant family was always in support of Marcus and actually in support of all of the Trufant mm-hmm. kids. And so, you know, it is. It's just amazing. Amazing. But now you're down in Las Vegas. Kind of
Yeah, my tickets getting killed tonight on this Monday night game. Getting killed. If you have any love for me at all, pray for 3 field goals in this second half and nothing else. Because I got the Eagles and the under and over 3 field goals. And I thought with Sanchez going against a banged up Cam Newton, I thought that was easy money. And I'm struggling right now.
Oh, man. So living the life of fantasy football and, of course, being down in Vegas, you know, how often is it that you can actually, you know, call the right parlay?
I'm not a huge bettor. I do it on Monday nights because I'm here at the Monte Carlo right now. And there's actually a window here. Like, you don't even have to go over to the sports book. There's a window right here in the pub inside Monte Carlo. And there's about 600 people here, which is always fun. And so I host a thing here on Monday nights. And so I bet on Mondays, but I heard a story of a guy at the South Point over the weekend that did a 9-team college football parlay, a $200 bet, and he's cashing that ticket today for $80,000. That's $80,000.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is amazing. I take it he won't be calling in, or he'll be calling in Monday or Tuesday. Or, well, tomorrow's a holiday, so he'll probably call in Wednesday.
Hey, you know what? It's 80 grand. So I, you know, I think he's probably still going to work, but I bet Christmas is going to be pretty good around his house.
Yeah, definitely.
Chet Buchanan joining us from Las Vegas, Nevada, host of Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo on KLUC. Chet, you're a big Seahawk fan, thankfully, and you're from the Pacific Northwest originally. So what do you think of the team after the Super Bowl run and how this year has gone in 2014?
Well, obviously, you know, I mean, for every Seahawk fan, and see, my history goes way back. I was a little kid, and my grandma and my uncle both lived in Kirkland back when they were, you know, the original Seahawk complex in, at where what is now Carillon Point. And I used to be able to run down there, and I was like this 8-9-year-old kid shagging balls for Jim Zorn. Later on, I was fortunate enough to do the last few years in the Kingdom. I did the music there, you know, in the Warren Moon and John Kitna years. You know, so it's really an amazing thing. Randy Rowland, who's the public address announcer, he and I became great friends when I was doing all the music in the Kingdom back in the day. And so Randy, I actually got married at the Lighthouse at Mukilteo last September. Randy Rowland, who's the public address announcer, he performed our ceremony. He's also a Lutheran minister. So he performed our ceremony. And then the next day, instead of throwing a reception, we limited our wedding to 50 people. And we took everybody and got a suite at CenturyLink. Instead of spending the money like some people do for a big ballroom and a DJ and whatever, we got a tour bus and a suite at CenturyLink. So yeah, last year was amazing. This year's obviously a lot tougher. Arizona's a monster. I think losing Red Bryant and some of the other guys that we've lost on the defensive line has been tough. The offensive line's been banged up. It was great that we could run yesterday. Russell will figure it out, but man, you know, we're in the best division in football. You got to be perfect every week, and we'll see how much Carson Palmer going down is going to hurt Arizona.
And now the daunting task of the second half of the schedule with a 60 win percentage the opponents have, starting with Kansas City at Arrowhead next Sunday.
Yeah, and that's adorable that they think that they have better fans than we do. I mean, I think that's cute. That's nice for them. But, you know, again, another big test, just like you said. It's a huge test for the Seahawks to go in there. But if we can run the ball, obviously the Russell Wilson bootleg isn't going to get 40 yards every. What was number 91, and I don't even remember who his name was, but the defensive end of the Giants, it was like a bad, it was like a glitch in a Madden game, or even like the old school, back in the day, they used to have these football games where you had the little players. In fact, they've got the Bud Light commercial with it now with Jimmy Johnson, and you turn the thing on, and the game goes, and it, the defensive end for the Giants, that's what he looked like every time. It was like, dude, stay home. We all know Russell's going to run by you. What are you doing? So I don't think Kansas City is going to be, I mean, really, there's no other way to say it. I don't think Kansas City is going to be that dumb. But I still think, you know, hopefully we can pile up some yards. I mean, Marshawn looked great. And certainly I think all that talk about this being his last year in Seattle probably made him go, well, I'll show you. You know, so he's at the top of his game, and you know, we got a shot on Sunday, but it's not going to be easy.
Well, just as you're speaking there, Chet, Sanchez throws for another touchdown. 38-7 right now.
Dude, I'm wandering out here by the pool. I may just jump in.
Yeah. he is definitely running up the score and having a field day. But you were just talking about the Kansas City Chiefs and their daunting task of having a louder decibel level at Arrowhead than at the Clink. And, of course, Seattle Seahawks going into this this juggernaut that is Alex Smith and company. It just seems like Seattle Seahawks are starting to get things going here. And, you know, who knows what's going on in the AFC West. But, you know, it should be a good game this Sunday.
Who would have ever thought that we'd be talking about the Kansas City Chiefs? Or, you know, I mean, who'd have ever thought that we'd actually be saying, wow, Alex Smith, you know what I mean? Because he was just so, I don't know whether they didn't use him right in San Francisco or what the deal was, but he certainly seemed to be a bust coming out of Utah, and there were such high hopes for him then. And then now we're looking at it, go, wow, Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs. That's an amazing story. And you know, again, we have to stay healthy. Hopefully we can run the ball. And again, Russell's, something's cuckoo with Russell, but he will always find a way. I mean, the guy's a winner, and everybody knows that. He's a competitor, and he's a smart guy, and so he'll find his way soon enough, and hopefully it'll be this Sunday.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about Alex Smith, and I think, you know, the problem with in San Francisco was he had 6 offensive coordinators in 6 years. Or something crazy like that. And, of course, you know, just like any human being, he just wanted to be loved, Chet. And now he's being loved in Kansas City, and he's playing some good football right now.
Isn't that the truth, man? And you know, and sometimes that relationship doesn't always click. You know, and a guy like Harbaugh is tough. He's tough to get along with. And you know, I don't think that's any secret. And I'm not being biased. It's just that you can tell that's what it is. He'll admit it. He's got that grating personality. You know, Pete's at least got a little more. He can be tough too. You don't see that side, but he can be tough. But he's got a little more nurture in him that I think a guy like Alex Smith probably needed.
Now, Chet, in all your years in the radio business, what are some things that you have learned and have kind of been able to mold in all these years that maybe you could help lead somebody down the proper path if they wanted to get into broadcasting?
Have fun. Just have fun. Think big. You know, there were always, a long time ago, I never did mornings at Cube. Boy, I'm going to get deep and personal here. I never did mornings at Cube, and it was offered to me a couple of times. And at the time, I thought, wow, I'll never be able to get up that early, and I'll never be that funny or anything like that. And so, just don't stand in your own way, I think is the really big thing. It really is true. A lot of the things that have come out since Pete has taken over the Seahawks, I mean, there's been a lot of press, and Russell parrots a lot of this stuff in his press conferences. But, you know, you really do just have a good positive attitude. The separation truly is in the preparation. There are a lot of people who are going to work hard. Sometimes things don't always go your way, but they will if you stick it out long enough. Radio is a great business. It's tough. It's competitive. It can be hard at times. But if you love it and you really love it and you're willing to work at it, it'll love you back. And, so it's been really good to me. And Las Vegas, who would have ever believed? I came here from Seattle and I thought, God, I don't want to stay here any longer than I have to. And at the time, kind of a mentor in the business said, well, how long is this first contract for? I said, 2 years. He goes, well, you have to ride out those 2 years. And I think if you do that, you'll probably be there for a long time. Well, here we are some 15 years later. So Vegas has been a great place, but I'm back in Seattle constantly. I'm there about every 6 weeks. In fact, I was just there this weekend.
Well, Chet, it's almost time for your big Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo toy drive, where it is possibly the world's largest single location toy drive, and you live 30 feet up on scaffolding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it happens in 24 days, and when I was a little kid, I always had a dream to truly, the vision in my head was I wanted to live on top of like a tower or something like that down at Seattle Center, down there kind of like by the fountain, and I always thought it'd be cool to do that, and if you could raise $10,000 for charity, I thought that would be cool. And when I came here, we had an opportunity, you know, you kind of wanted to do something to make a difference. You wanted to do something to kind of get noticed. And we came up with Toy Drive. And honestly, my boss here has been incredibly supportive throughout the years. And for it to have grown, that's a really big secret about Las Vegas is people, what you think of as Las Vegas is just, it would be the same thing if like people go, oh, so do you do all your shopping at the Pike Place Market? You know, no, you go to Pike Place Market when you've got relatives in town. You know, same thing. You don't come to the Strip unless you're making money or unless you've got relatives in town. You don't come down to the Las Vegas Strip. So life here is pretty normal. And the one thing is that this is a town of a lot of people. So I call it a town, but there's 2 million people here. But there's a lot of people from a lot of different places. And Toy Drive gives them something to belong to, and it gives them something to, I hear this over and over, that it makes them feel like home. and just it's just been an amazing thing, and I can say that because I'm not the one who's done it. I tell everybody it's a lot like those dudes that stand out on the corner with flipping those signs around and dancing to get the earplugs in, and that, you know, and it's got 6 months free rent. Go this way. I'm kind of that guy where I just go, hey, come on over here and donate toys. It goes for a really good cause, and you know, and it's just blown up the way that it has. It's mind boggling.
Shep Buchanan doing great things live from the Monte Carlo tonight for Monday Night Football. Host of Chet Buchanan and the Morning Zoo, KLUC 98.5 in Las Vegas, KLUC.com. And Chet, before we let you run, you know, when you were down in Portland at Z100, anytime I got close to Portland, I would turn on Z100 and hope your show was on and try to time it right. And, you know, when you were not in Seattle and down in Portland, and, you know, I just tried to follow you, and now you're here and doing great things in Vegas for a long time. And keep up the great work, and thanks so much for your time and insight.
That's really kind of you. Really, really kind of you. And anytime I can come on and talk sports, I'm happy to do it. So you got my number. Call me when you need me.
Sounds good.
Sounds great. Chet Buchanan, morning 6 to 10, KLUC.com.
Man, you know, the cool thing about having Chet on the show, of course, his background mostly is dealing in, you know, in radio with, you know, the hip-hop, urban, R&B type style music, but at the same time, being able to reinvent yourself. And that's one of the things that I've gotten from Chet, is to always reinvent yourself. And by him being in radio, going and working in sports, and then moving back into, like, the morning show down at KLUC in Las Vegas, and, you know, just staying busy, staying active, doing those things that, you know, with the toy drives and all those such things. I mean, you know, we've got guests on the show that these guys are the hardest working people, you know, in our craft, man. And it's awesome. It's awesome to get a chance to talk with Chet.
Yeah, he does so many things. I mean, we didn't have enough time to even touch on half the stuff he does. He's done TV. He's been, you know, hosting on court at UNLV Running Rebel basketball games. It's just amazing the things he's done, and how he has time for everything is just another question that he finds a will. He finds a way, and he obviously has a will to get everything done.
You know, and he stopped short of actually talking about that relationship with KUBE. But of course, when he was there at the time, of course, you know, Shelly Hart was doing her thing, and, you know, and then Chet comes on at 3 o'clock, and you know, he has his show that goes through the traffic jam, the 5 o'clock traffic jam. And of course, we cannot forget the T-Man in the morning that he was talking about, the morning show. I mean, you're talking about personalities in that radio station that were just on fire. You know, I mean, these guys were reinventing themselves, and, you know, of course, T-Man coming over from KJR at one point and doing sports, and then the next thing you know, he's the hottest thing going, you know, in contemporary radio. It was just awesome to see these guys actually maturing and developing and getting Chet on this show to actually give us a little bit of insight on what that was like.
Well, you can't leave out the program director at Cube for at least 2 decades, and that's Eric Powers, who I'm sure Chet knows very well.
Yes.
And, you know, doing great things, the redheaded firecracker that is Eric Powers to the people.
Yes, that's right, man. And you know, and so, you know, awesome. Awesome to have Chet on and get a chance to talk sports and, you know, get his intake for, you know, as being a Seahawks fan down in Las Vegas. We didn't really talk too much about that. Of course, he's, you know, having a blast at, you know, at his party. And so, I mean, how else would you have it but to be partying in Vegas, man?
Well, the awesome thing is Chet's getting paid to host a Monday Night Football party at the Monte Carlo. So just amazing what Chet Buchanan's able to do. And when we come back, big time guest number 3 here on the double, that is former NFL safety Nick Ferguson. Come on back after this on the double.
What's my image?
What's my image?
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours.
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pain went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to andro400.com. andro400.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services. Platinum service without the platinum price.
Let's get back to great sports talk with big time guests on the double with the Double S Express.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, and we are batting 3-for-3 tonight. Let's go right back out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines and welcome in big-time guest number 3, possibly the best for last. That is former NFL safety Nick Ferguson. Nick, thanks for your time tonight.
Holy crap! That's right, me.
Oh, man. So Nick, hey, man, hey, glad to have you on the show here. And, of course, there was a big game yesterday. Of course, the Denver Broncos getting one step closer to righting a wrong, if you will, and I'm sure that you would agree with that as far as getting back to the Super Bowl and taking care of business. They took on the Oakland Raiders at the O.co yesterday, and at the beginning, it didn't look too bright for the Denver Broncos, but then Peyton Manning happened, and the rest is history.
Well, you know what, fellas, I'll tell you this. You know, in this league, it's been said, and, you know, I guess ad nauseum about the elite quarterback position, and we know what, you know, Peyton Manning is, but no quarterback, and even the great John Elway himself, was nothing without an adequate running game. And that proved definitely great for the Denver Broncos yesterday. Like you said, they struggled in the first half trying to get things started. But then all of a sudden, C.J. Anderson got things started with that. You know what? I have to say, that was probably one of the better runs I've seen on a screenplay all season. And I'm familiar with watching, I'm sure you guys are, Darren Sproles do some fabulous things at the screen game when he was with the New Orleans Saints. But C.J. Anderson broke the game wide open for the Denver Broncos, and that was exactly what they need. Now, you talked about Super Bowl. Now, I know the biggest thing is the Super Bowl bound, and expectations are great for the Denver Broncos, but guess what? There's still a team in New England that says – the road to the Super Bowl comes through Foxborough.
And, yeah, you're definitely right about that. And, of course, the New England Patriots are looking like a team that is a little bit more complete. Now, you mentioned the running game and having a running game. Now, is Denver there yet as far as having that complete team with that running game?
No, absolutely not. I mean, they had put a great showing together with Ronnie Hillman when they played against the San Diego Chargers, and everyone was saying, hey, Ronnie Hillman is the guy that the Broncos drafted him and expected him to be. But that's easy to run against a defense that's really deficient. But as you saw when they faced the Patriots, it wasn't the same. So now Ronnie Hillman is out with nursing a mid-foot sprain, they're calling it, and he's going to miss 2 to 3 weeks. So the heavy workload for C.J. Anderson and Juwan Thompson. So that's great that C.J. Anderson was able to get some touches to get into the flow of the game, and they're going to have to rely on him heavily in these upcoming weeks.
Former NFL safety Nick Ferguson joining us. And, Nick, one of the teams you played for was the Denver Broncos, as you know. Now, which team are the Broncos? The team that showed up against the Raiders yesterday, or, you know, they had a close loss in Seattle. They got manhandled in Foxborough. Where do you see this team?
You know what? I really don't know where to place this team. And I know at this juncture in the season, that's hard to say. But I've kind of pissed off a couple of Broncos fans, and they kind of took to Twitter and hit me up on email to let me know how disgusted they were with some of the things that I said. But I only speak the truth. When you play against multiple teams that were top-rated coming into the season but have deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball, like we saw with Oakland, it's not hard to put up that many points when you have the weapons at your disposal that Peyton Manning has. Facing a team like they faced early in the season, facing Seattle, they had trouble. They couldn't get things going until maybe the fourth quarter, then maybe overtime. And then we saw them go up to New England yet again, and Brady, with the help of Revis and Brandon Browner, were able to defense those skill positioning receivers that they have on the outside and made it really difficult for Peyton Manning, because I think the Jets early on in the season laid it out for everyone on how to defense Peyton Manning. Double A-gap blitz. You got to get him some pressure to get him off his launch point. Get him moving around. Every quarterback, I don't care who you are, that you have to disrupt them and don't allow them to be comfortable. So the Jets gave an early blueprint, and Belichick just capitalized off of that. But this Broncos team, I know we have about 6-7 games remaining in the season, but they still have a lot to prove. And then if you look at the back end of their schedule, they don't have any tough teams coming up.
Now, Nick, you talk about a blueprint, and a lot has been discussed about blueprints to beat certain teams. The Seahawks showed how to beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl. The Patriots showed how to do that as well this season. Is that the case in the NFL? Can every team take something off of a, quote, blueprint to beat any given team on any given Sunday?
Absolutely. The game of football, let's be quite honest, gentlemen. The game of football is about creating matchups. Can you create a matchup with your skill position, wide receiver, on the nickelback or a corner on the outside? Can you match up your running back on the linebacker who's not that fast? With the Denver Broncos, they've just been taking advantage of teams that have mediocre defenses and just deficiencies in the back end. But Adam Gase, I mean, to his credit, he's done a great job. It's not the Broncos' fault that other teams are having injuries, but right now I think that they might have peaked too soon. Now, they can prove me wrong, and I still love the Broncos, don't get me wrong, but I still think this team doesn't really truly have an identity yet, because you don't know who you are until you've been smacked in the mouth. So now they were smacked in the mouth. They play the Oakland Raiders, a deficient team, have changed so many coaches in the past 4 years. I mean, that's an easy victory. Now, maybe later on in the back end of the season, go to New England, prove to me again that you can do it a second time, because it's hard to beat a team twice in the NFL season. So that's the game I'm looking forward to, but I still don't know who this team is. They haven't established a true running back, you know, as far as who can gain yards inside the red zone and kind of a home run hitter. So really, the verdict is still out on this team.
Nick, the Truth Ferguson, joining us here on the Double. And of course, Nick, Sean just mentioned in the NFL, any given Sunday, any team can win any given Sunday. With that being said, the team here in Northern California, the Oakland Raiders that you were just talking about a second ago, are winless on the season. Do you anticipate them getting that any given Sunday victory with about 7 games to go?
You know what? I would love to say that. And sometimes at the end of the season, fellas, when you're playing for jobs, sometimes that finds ways to motivate guys. And I think towards the back end of the season, I don't think this is going to be a team like that Detroit Lions team that finished the season without a victory. When you look at the back half of their schedule, they played Kansas City Chiefs twice. They played the Denver Broncos, Buffalo, San Francisco 49ers, St. Louis. So I think they might be able to catch Denver at the latter part of the season in that December 28th game, because at that point, Denver's going to have the division wrapped up. They're not going to have anything to play for. They already lost to the Patriots, so the Patriots could possibly have the number one seed. Rest your starters. You rest Peyton Manning, and probably that is the game that the Raiders probably end up the season maybe 1-15.
Now, I proposed this question at the beginning of the show to Marcus Trufant, and I'm going to propose this question to you. If you're a team such as the Seattle Seahawks, who are the defending Super Bowl champions, or you're a team like the Oakland Raiders, who are winless, what would be tougher to prepare for week in and week out? That team that comes in playing against the Super Bowl champions, or that team that goes in to play against a winless team not wanting to lose to that winless team?
You know, I think that winless team is very dangerous, because, you know, they're playing for pride. Like I said, they're playing for job security for us next year. Tony Sperano, he's probably not going to be there as a head coach. So at that point, they're willing to try anything. Double moves, play action, triple reverse on special teams. They're capable of trying anything. So that team is the most dangerous. And I don't care who you are in the NFL. You don't want to be that team that gave up a win or W to the team that was winless the entire time until you played them. You don't want to do that. So it's always tougher to play against that team that seems as though they're desperate. They don't have anything to play for, because, once again, they're capable of anything. They pull anything out of their hat just to try to gain momentum, just to try to knock you out of the playoffs, just to say that they did it.
Former NFL safety Nick Ferguson joining us here on The Double. And, Nick, what has surprised you in the first half of the NFL season?
You know what? The surprise, I believe, and you guys can, you know, chime in if you want to, is the Cleveland Browns. You know, who would have thought that at this point in the season they would be leading in their division? But here's another thing that is surprising, too. If I had told either one of you guys at this point in the season that a team in the NFC South with three wins would still have a chance to win their division, would you believe me? And I think those are two of the biggest – those are the two biggest surprises in 2014. The fact that you still can win the division, winning three or four games at this point in the season, and the Cleveland Browns. Wow, who saw that coming?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's worse. It's a great story about the Cleveland Browns, of course. And, you know, of course, Johnny Football is now known as Johnny Bench, because there's no way that he's going to get into the game the way Hoyer is playing. But you're mentioning the three wins in the NFC South. And, man, the New Orleans Saints, you know, of course, losing to the San Francisco 49ers yesterday, but to still be in this, to still be in it in the playoff hunt is just tremendous to me. Tremendous.
It is a baffling thing, but that tells you how deficient that division is at this point. And in years past, that was one of the better divisions in, you know, professional sports, but now it's just taking a back seat. The Falcons, I guess 2 years removed from being, you know, four quarters, one play away from going to the Super Bowl, and things have just fallen apart for Mike Smith and Matt Ryan. So that division, when you look at it, you still have to be optimistic. And I bet each coach, they're telling their guys week in and week out, and Carolina Panthers are losing right now to the Eagles, that, you know, we still have a chance. Even though we've lost this amount of games, we still have a chance, and all we have to do is win our division and get into the playoffs, and we still have an opportunity. That's wild. That's crazy.
Yeah, one game out, I believe, the Carolina Panthers were. I mean, but they're getting throttled right now. But they're, you know, they're still in it. Of course, as you said, the Atlanta Falcons still have optimism that all they have to do is muster two or three games, a winning streak, and then they're back into the playoffs. It's kind of similar to a few years ago, and Sean Wiley, you can chime in on this, when the Seattle Seahawks won the division at 7-9, and who would have thought that?
You know what, that was funny. I was just talking with someone today who's a loyal Miami fan, and he said that same thing. And, you know, for years I have always, and just call it a bias, I played majority of my career in the AFC, and I've always thought that the teams and the conference and the divisions independently were so much better than the NFC. And once again, like 7-9, Seattle squeaking into the playoffs, then we have a possibility of a team doing the same thing and the South Division. How far will they get? That still remains to be seen. But that is the division I think everyone needs to start watching. We already know what's going to happen in, you know, the AFC and some of with some of the top teams. But that is the division I think we should all keep our eye on, because something strange and magnificent is going to happen in that conference.
Well, I think what's strange yesterday, what is Drew Brees doing throwing into triple coverage trying to force feed Jimmy Graham?
Well, that tells you have a 6'7" tight end who was a former basketball player. You have a lot of confidence in him. When you look at what Drew Brees has been able to accomplish with Jimmy Graham, you know, it's not quite to the level of what Antonio Gates and Phillip Rivers has accomplished inside the red zone. But when you have a guy with that size and that jump and ability and that catch radius, how can you not try to force the ball into him? But usually Drew Brees makes better decisions, better reads. But you have to take your hat off to the San Francisco 49ers. They made the plays that they needed to make, especially knowing as though their season was on the line.
Now, Nick, let me ask you a quick question, because that jump ball that was thrown up by Drew Brees, in that particular play, and of course you being a safety, do you call that pass interference, or is that something to where you just let the guys play?
You know what, usually on a last-second play like that, the refs usually allow the guys to play. But when it appeared to be a blatant shove in the back, it's hard not to look at that and throw the flag. At least go to instant replay and make sure that you got it right. But, you know, I believe it was Parrish Cox who had, you know, one of the best, you know, Academy Award acting, you know, plays the season. And that's all you can call it. I mean, even though Jimmy Graham, let's be totally honest, Jimmy Graham did put his hand in the back. But was it enough to shove him the way Parrish Cox actually fell on the ground? But no, probably wasn't. But the refs, their job is to look and evaluate plays. They did a great job of evaluating their play. But I'm sure they probably needed a police escort as they left the Superdome, you know, yesterday.
Oh, most definitely.
Now, Nick, the NFC West is a tight race with the 8-1 Arizona Cardinals getting off to a hot start, but their starting quarterback Carson Palmer blew an ACL for the second time. Do you think they can maintain with a backup quarterback and win the division, or can Seattle or San Francisco take over in the NFC West?
You know, I think for Seattle, and you never want to wish, you know, any, you know, harm on anyone, but sometimes that happens in the NFL. It's a physical game, and it was unfortunate to see Carson Palmer go down, especially after signing an extension with Arizona Cardinals. But now Drew Stanton has to come in and finish what Carson Palmer started. And I think Seattle has an excellent opportunity, especially with Marshawn Lynch running the way that he's running. Russell Wilson threw two interceptions yesterday, but Marshawn Lynch, 140 yards on the ground. That's how you do it. You play great defense and you run the ball. So I think it's going to be hard for the Arizona Cardinals to really hold on to that lead that they have, because you have two teams, great teams, both the San Francisco 49ers and the Arizona Cardinals in the hunt. And you look at the Seattle Seahawks schedule. They play the San Francisco 49ers twice and the Cardinals twice. So, you know, those four games will definitely determine who comes out and wins, ends up being victorious in that respective division.
Now, turning to a division that's near and dear to you, Nick, of course, the AFC West. We talked a little bit about the Denver Broncos and some of the things that they need to get better at. But moving forward in these final seven games, of course, the San Diego Chargers, losers of three in a row. Of course, the team that ails you will be heading down to San Diego, and that is the Oakland Raiders. Where do you see the AFC West turning out?
Wow, I would like to call it Wild Wild West, but I really can't call it that, because we know that the team that everyone is aiming to beat is the Denver Broncos. From here on out, I truly believe that it's kind of smooth sailing for them. They can afford to drop one more game, if that, and if they were to drop a game, possibly that Sunday, December 14th game at the Chargers. But, you know, when you look at the remaining of the schedule, they play the Rams next week. That should be a tough game defensively. But there's no one in the Broncos' way, you know, at this particular point. And then they end up the season, like I said, with Oakland, who could possibly get their first victory of the year. So in this, in the division, you have to figure the Broncos are going to finish number one, and then maybe the Kansas City Chiefs number two, and San Diego might be fighting for a wild card, especially after beginning the season, you know, so well, and Phillip Rivers were in the conversation for a league MVP, and that's just kind of fallen off, but difficult for him. But he's been a tough year for him. He hasn't really had an adequate protection and injuries on both sides of the ball. But I think that San Diego team fighting for their lives right now for the wild card, but Denver Broncos should win the West.
Now, one team that you mentioned, Nick, the Kansas City Chiefs, that's one team that, you know, has, you can put an asterisk next to, because they have played the NFC West really tough this year. And, of course, they have the ever-so-tough Super Bowl champions coming in this weekend. And, of course, Alex Smith always has that question mark, and if he can actually get his team over the hump from being a game manager. I think when Denver actually meets up with Kansas City, that should be a good game going into this late part of the season.
Well, you know, despite the woes offensively, Kansas City, Bob Sutton has that Kansas City defense playing pretty well. They're not giving up as many explosive plays as they gave up a year ago. So this is a tough, gritty group. When you have Tom Ali and Houston on the outside pressuring the quarterback, they can really be disruptive. I know Seattle Seahawks struggled early in the game against the New York Giants, but still found a way to make some plays. But I still was astonished at the fact of how often they allow Russell Wilson to get outside the pocket. So you best be sure that Bob Sutton is going to have his edge rushers be conscious of those outside runs and those naked bootlegs by Russell Wilson.
Nick Ferguson with us here on The Double. You can follow him on Twitter at @NickFerguson_25. And, Nick, you've got a great YouTube channel where you put on Secondary Perspective, and you've got some good interviews coming up soon.
Yeah, I do. I was telling you guys before we came on, I have an excellent interview, a candid interview, might I add, with Brady Quinn. He talked about the Michigan rivalry, the comments that Brady Hoke made a couple of years ago, and he talked about, you know, being drafted by Cleveland, and if he could go back 7 years, what would he change? But I'll let you guys listen to that on the interview. That should be on my YouTube channel, Nick Ferg Show, probably this weekend. So go ahead and check that out. I have a couple other interviews I'm going to put up there as well. Check out, there's a teaser now with MLB pitcher Trevor Bell, just kind of a little short teaser about what the show is about, and talking a little baseball. I know baseball season is over, but go ahead and check out that YouTube channel, Nick Ferg Show. Funny stuff.
Nick Ferg Show on YouTube, and it definitely is funny stuff. We've checked it out, and you've got great insight on the game and some good comedy as well.
You know, I always aim to try to entertain people as much as I can. You know what? If you asked any guy who played with me, if you were to ask John Lynch, what kind of guy was Nick? Was he kind of a comedian in the locker room? He would say the total opposite. No, I was not. And it's funny, once I jumped into the media and I started doing all these things, this comedic side decided to, you know, emerge and, I guess, rise from the ashes like a phoenix. But I'm just trying to do my best to embrace it, and also just enlighten fans on the game of football and what it's like to play football for 10 years and be inside that locker room and be inside that huddle and give them a different perspective on things. So I enjoy entertaining, but this gives me ability to entertain from a different perspective.
So, Nick, we occasionally get to work with John Lynch with Fox Sports at the various NFL venues in the Bay Area or up in Seattle. So we'll definitely try to ask him that. And is it safe to say there's a couple different sides of Nick Ferguson?
You know what? Yes, there are multiple sides. I know some celebrities always look to invent this kind of alter ego. But I think what happened for me, it just spawned into something else. I had no idea what would happen once this level create started to come out. But, you know, I'm enjoying it. Other people are enjoying it as well. They're enjoying the characters that are on the show, Uncle Lester and Cousin Randall. So I enjoy doing the show. I'm having fun doing it. When next time you see John, ask him about his comments that he made in a game when we played in Kansas City, and he was flagged for hitting Eddie Kinnison. asking what his comments were.
Yeah.
Trust me, you think that I'm going outside the box or whatever. John Lynch surprised me with the comments he made on the field that day.
Well, we'll definitely have to do that. Now, Sean, when is the Fox crew coming up? So you'll probably get a chance to see John Lynch and Kevin Burkhardt, another On the Double guest, before I do. So, yeah, we'll definitely have to ask that question.
Yeah. Ask him that question. I'll tell you before we leave, guys, really quick. There was one time he was playing the Indianapolis Colts, and John hit, I believe, Dallas Clark across the middle, Peyton Manning's fault. He led him too much. And John received a fine for $75,000. And
wow.
They were looking to use our fine money to help pay for that. And I was like, man, we don't have enough fine money for that. $75,000. I mean, really?
Wow.
Come on, NFL. But
that is a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But I'm going to stop there because I know I can go on with these stories.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, yeah, we can go on and on. And we enjoy hearing those stories, of course, you know, from an NFL perspective. And so, man, thanks again for being on the show. And of course, you're welcome anytime, my friend.
Anytime you guys want me, I am here.
Nick Ferguson, thank you so much for your time. Follow him on Twitter at @NickFerguson_25. And don't forget the great YouTube channel, Nick Ferg Show. So, Sean, that wraps up not one, not two, but three big-time guests tonight. Great show number 78 here on The Double.
Man, 78, getting close to 80. And, of course, you're right, an awesome show. Starting it out, action-packed. We kept it defensive, man, and that's what I like. You know, got the DBs in here. We had Marcus Trufant, former Seattle Seahawk, and doing some awesome things with the track, at the track in West Pasco. And so he's got a big event coming up this Thursday, doing some great things for the Boys and Girls Club. That's the Dinner with Friends. Of course, our second guest, from KLUC in Las Vegas, Chet Buchanan, doing some awesome things and getting a chance to talk some sports. Of course, Nick Ferguson, you know, always good to have Nick on, and former NFL safety for the Denver Broncos, and doing some awesome things and doing some motivational speaking and comedic as well, Sean Wally.
Now, Sean, before we run, I want to touch on a couple quick points of interest. A former guest here on The Double, Eastern Washington University linebacker Ronnie Hamlin, now has the most tackles in Eastern Washington history. So a fabulous senior linebacker doing great things for the Eastern Washington Eagles, now has their school record for tackles.
And no better time to do that. And, of course, this past weekend, taking on the Montana Grizzlies and beating the Montana Grizzlies. What an exciting feat. And I'm sure that that's definitely going to put him and catapult him to the next level. And so we expect some great things from Eastern Washington as well.
Yeah, and who's going to know what's going to happen down the road? You know, the playoffs won't be too much further down the road in the, you know, division, what used to be Division II in college football in Eastern Washington, always the talk there in the running for the championship.
Yeah, and of course, their playoff structure is a little more solid, a lot more solid than what we see this year. Of course, this is the first year for the Division I schools to go through a playoff structure in which they're taking the top four teams in a playoff atmosphere to deem who's the national champion. But as you're saying, Division II, which is Division I AA, which is where Eastern Washington plays, they've gone through this playoff structure for many, many, many years. And, of course, Eastern Washington doing an awesome job. And I believe they should have catapulted the rankings will come out, or the rankings should have come out. And I believe Eastern Washington is sitting at number 5 in the country as we speak. So awesome job for the EWU Eagles.
And the last item of note is the Washington State Cougars got a big win over Oregon State. Big because a rookie quarterback, Luke Falk, his first start as quarterback at the college level, got the start for the injured Connor Halliday. He pulls out the win on the road at Oregon State.
Yeah, and a great win for the Washington State Cougars, and a much needed win for Coach Leach. Of course, you're looking at a program that is looking for some bright spots, some bright sides. They get some great talent that comes in, and you know, for whatever reason, they just can't put it together. As you had mentioned earlier, a tough injury on Connor Holiday the week prior, and breaking his femur. Is that what it was, John?
Correct.
And you know, and actually ending his college career, you know, with some high expectations of going high in the drafts next year. And so Washington State looking for that glimmer, and of course, you know, Saturday that was a great win against the Oregon State Beavers.
Show 78 of On the Double. Big thank you to our triple threat of big time guests tonight, Marcus Trufant, who's coming over to the Tri-Cities for Dinner with Friends, a dinner benefit for the Boys and Girls Clubs of Benton and Franklin Counties. For $125, you get dinner, a 20-minute Q&A session with Marcus, and an on-site photographer to get your photo taken with Mr. Trufant, the former Cougar and Seattle Seahawk. Guest number two, Chet Buchanan of KLUC in Las Vegas. Chet, the host of The Morning Zoo, 6 to 10 a.m., KLUC.com. And we just finished up with big-time guest number three, Nick Ferguson, former NFL safety.
Great show. Show number 78 in the books. And, of course, as always, man, you know, you can always go on to double-s-express.com to check out all the On the Double with the Double S Express archives. You can also go on to bbsradio.com/dsx.com, or you can download the app BBS Radio and Station 2 to catch us live. You can also catch us on Stitcher Radio and iTunes. Show number 78 in the books. For Sean Wally, Sean Boyd, and engineer Don Newson, you have been listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.